You'll remember the background to the story. Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel and told that she would be with child. And she asked, "How can this be since I've never been with a man?" And so she took on the daunting burden of being an unwed mother in that moment, knowing that Joseph may have wanted to divorce her, and certainly he did. He wanted to do secretly, out of respect for her, but also out of preservation of his own honor, because by his account, she must have been with another man. So imagine the kind of scorn and disgrace and shame that Mary had to endure as a young mother, probably around 16 years old. Thanks be to God that the angel also visited Joseph, and Joseph stepped up to be the kind of man that God called him to be, and the father to this unborn child, Jesus, who would be king of the Jews. And we know that Mary suffered terribly from her own family and her own community, because it says right in our text today that she went with haste to the hill country to be with her cousin Elizabeth. And why would she go to see her cousin Elizabeth? Well, first of all, she was told by the angel that she, in her old age, was also pregnant miraculously, not conceived by the Holy Spirit, but a miracle like Abraham and Sarah experienced in the old days, in the Old Testament, when in their old age they also bore a son, Isaac, and God had the last laugh. And so Mary knows that Elizabeth probably has her own burdens that she bears. Mary is actually seeking a safe place. She's a refugee from her own people. Just as Jesus will be born, the Word made flesh, and his own people did not receive him, so Mary first experienced that, most assuredly. Elizabeth says of her own self, just before our reading from today, she says that God has removed the disgrace of my people. And so Elizabeth also suffered disgrace, being a woman who never bore a child. And in that culture, you were less than if you did not have a child as a woman. And so God, in the way he turns things upside down, after decades of enduring this disgrace, Elizabeth finally has that disgrace lifted when she's pregnant with John. But she shouldn't have had to suffer any disgrace. And so Mary goes to a safe place. She goes to someone she knows that is a relative, but someone who really understands her experience and knows what it means to suffer at the hands of her own people. There's a proverb that there is a friend that sticks closer than a blood relative. Do you have one of those in your life? Do you have somebody that you can go to that sticks closer than a blood relative? It might be a cousin. It might be a sister or a brother. It might be a parent. It might be a childhood friend. What Elizabeth was to Mary was a gift. Elizabeth was a sacred companion and a true friend to this younger Mary who is now pregnant, who also has that scarlet thread woven into the fabric of her story. And so together they're strong. And what happens when they meet is that womb bears witness to womb. The inner prophet of Elizabeth bears witness to the inner king in Mary. There's this stirring in the womb that happens, something that's visceral, that connects Elizabeth and Mary, these two sojourners, dealing with their own difficulties and burdens through this Christmas story. It's easy for us to look at the Christmas story and see it as a triumphalistic thing, and we forget all the burdens that Mary would bear. The angel said that the sword would pierce through her own soul as well. She would have to journey all the way down to Bethlehem to give birth to a child. She gave birth to Jesus probably in a cave. After journeying, after being exhausted, her life probably was threatened. And I think she was able to endure it because of friends like Elizabeth, a sacred companion, a kindred spirit, who said that within her she could feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit, the stirring of her infant, unborn child, bearing witness to the inner Christ that Mary was bearing in her womb. She felt the stirring in her womb, the stirring of the unborn prophet, priest, and king, Jesus, the Messiah. And she sings a song where she too sees the world turned upside down, where the proud are humbled, where the rich lose, where the poor have all that they need, and where the lowly are lifted up. Do you have somebody that can bear witness to the stirring in your heart and in your womb? Have you borne witness? Have you felt that stirring within you to validate your Christian friend or your blood relative or your kindred spirit in your life? Where in the midst of their suffering and your own, you can bear witness to God's promises that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Just as we prayed this morning, stir up your power, O Lord, and come. This is what Advent's all about. It's about that expectation. Did you know that? We're all expecting. We all have that stirring in our womb, that inner prophet, that inner prophet, priest, and king, the Christ who dwells richly in our hearts, not just to give ourselves that assurance of grace and that God is with us and will help us endure the disgrace and the shame that we may be experiencing, and the false guilt, or maybe even the true guilt. That assurance that we have that God is with us, but also with one another, where we get to bear witness, that we feel that same stirring within us for the other, so that we might speak those words of encouragement, those words of hope, and as we celebrate today, those words of joy, that Christ is born into the world and that we are expecting that He has already come and been born into our hearts. And so we pray, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.